The question for us to consider now is, what is the gospel? Now you can find the text for this in the 10th verse of the 2nd chapter of Luke. This is a much misunderstood word, a word greatly abused, this word gospel. I remember some years ago a politician speaking on the Esplanade, and he talked about the communist gospel of discontent. What a contradiction in terms. You might as well say the good news, the blessed news of discontent. It doesn't make sense. They use the word gospel for so many things. It's a Saxon word and denotes good news, or God's spell, or God's spelling, God's interpretation. Now, when I speak to you about what is the gospel, I want to say, first of all, one or two things negatively. I want to talk about what the gospel is not. The gospel is not the Bible. It's found in the Bible. So are so many other things that are not the gospel. For instance, in the Bible you read, the wicked shall be cast into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That's awfully true, but it's not the gospel. You read there of Armageddon. You read there of the great tribulation. Sorrow such as never was, that shall be upon Jacob. But this is not the gospel. So much in the Bible isn't gospel, but the gospel is there, and you won't find it in its beauty, in its original form, anywhere else. The gospel is not the law of Moses. There are many people that have got to learn that yet. There is no gospel in the law. There's no good news in the law. I know that many teach the law for the gospel, but the law never saved anyone. It wasn't given for that purpose. Oh yes, I know the law is good and perfect, said the psalmist, but it's perfect as law. It's not perfect as gospel. The moon is perfect as a moon, but it's not perfect as a sun. A child is perfect as a child, but it's not perfect as a man. The law is perfect as law, but it's not perfect as gospel. The law was given to condemn. It carries a penalty. We break it and we discover that. But it's not the gospel. And the gospel isn't baptism and repentance either. Paul said, I came not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. You read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Not sure of the verse. But when one understands the gospel and believes it, he will be baptized. And before he's baptized, he will repent. And these are a result of hearing the gospel. This is something you do, I do. But the gospel is the good news of what Christ did. There are several definitions in the New Testament, and always it's the gospel, never a gospel. And I'm talking not about a gospel, but about the gospel. So I say, first of all, it's the gospel of the kingdom of God. You can find that in Matthew 9:35 and many other places. And Jesus went about all their villages preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And so did Paul. You'll read that in Acts 28:31. He preached the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Because only by the gospel can we enter the kingdom. and it's the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel of God. We don't often think of it in that term, I know. We speak of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, said that he was separated unto the gospel of God. Why? Because God is the source of it. It never came, that is to say, it never originated with man or by man. In Jude, verse 3, there's only one chapter in Jude, we read where Jude says, contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. And by the faith there, he means the message that men believed, the gospel. Now, other systems have human authors, but not this one. God so loved the world that he gave, and it's God's message. It's God's gospel. It's the gospel of God. And then, without any contradiction, I want to say, it's the gospel of Christ. And Paul says that in the very same chapter, Romans 1, verse 16. It's a wonderful verse. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. It is the power of God unto salvation. He's saying, I am proud of the gospel. It's the power. And he's writing this to the Romans. And the Romans knew something about power. But here is power, greater than the power of Rome. And it proved to be such, because it was this mighty message that conquered Rome and overthrew the imperial power. Christ made it possible by his resurrection. So I say it's the gospel of Christ, as Paul says. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And always remember this, that unless we mean he rose as a body, then don't talk about the resurrection at all. Said a New York preacher some years ago, the body of Jesus sleeps in a Syrian grave, but his soul goes marching on. That's a lie. If that were true, there would not be a gospel. Christ is alive. And here is the good news. Because I live, ye shall live also. In the epistle to Timothy, Paul said he abolished death, and he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, his gospel. And that's the great news. That's the great gospel. There's a power to save us from death, or the fear of death, and to bring us to eternal life. We're only here for a little while. There's a life beyond. And the gospel of Jesus Christ opens the door into that life, because he brought life and immortality to light by his resurrection. And then in Revelation 14:6 you read, it is the everlasting gospel. You read there, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach. Everlasting, yes, of course, it's eternal. And by that I mean, and I think the Bible means, it will never be superseded by another. There'll never be a greater truth proclaimed. It will never be surpassed. There was none before this. There's no gospel in the Old Testament. And there'll be none after this. For there is no other message given, no other name given, no other Savior. Time will never see him surpassed. We shall never outgrow him, nor our need of him and the gospel. And then lastly, and this is beautiful, it's the gospel of the grace of God. Testify to the gospel of the grace of God, not of works of ours, lest any man should boast. Not the gospel for church members only, not for good people only, but to call sinners to repentance he came, and that's what grace is. It's God's blessing to the unworthy. It's something unmerited. And this gospel of grace is to be received and to live by. I know no greater message than the gospel, and I'd rather be a proclaimer of this everlasting truth than I'd be the greatest politician or statesman that ever lived. Believe the gospel. Believe the Christ of the gospel. There's nothing shoddy, nothing shameful, nothing, I mean, to be ashamed of in the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. Believe it and live in the power of it. Amen.